Hey grown-ups, warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Factor has a menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So, no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Head to factormeals.com/tales50. That's T-A-L-E-S 50. And use code TALES50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. That's code TALES50 at factormeals.com/tales50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Hey grown-ups, I have something exciting to share with you. There's a brand new kids podcast out now that I think you're going to love. It's called Mysteries About True Histories. This show is perfect if you love adventures, solving riddles, and maybe even some wacky math problems. But I need a little help from some new friends to tell you more. Max and Molly, take it away.
From the creators of Who Smarted, Starglow Media, comes a brand new podcast called Mysteries About True Histories.
Does that sound serious enough?
Max, we only have 30 seconds for this promo. Just tell them how your mysterious aunt recruited us into a secret order of problem solvers who travel time and have epic adventures.
I don't have to. You just did.
Catch new episodes of Mysteries About True Histories every Thursday on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, Tailblazers! I'm Rebecca Cunningham, and this is Girl Tales, a kids' podcast packed with girl power and stories where every child's voice matters. Grown-ups, Girl Tales is brought to you by families like yours. If you would like to hear your child's name at the top of our next episode, or if you would like me to wish them a happy birthday, head to patreon.com/girltales and join a team today. Now, on to our episode. This is Maya in the Empire of Tazumal. Enjoy! I'd like to tell you about a friend of mine. Now, who could that be? Oh, hey, it's my neighbor, Joaquin. How's it going?
Just another beautiful day in the town of Freshwater. I just made a hot batch of champurrado, and I thought I would come share some with you.
Oh, wow, that's so thoughtful of you. But I've never had champurrado. What is it?
Oh, you're in for a treat. Champurrado is a hot, thick, creamy, and chocolatey drink. Some people say that it's thousands of years old, and it comes all the way from the Mayan Empire.
I would love to have some, but I was just about to tell a story.
Well, how about I tell a story, and you can drink the champurrado? I know a great one, and it's about champurrado.
Well, I cannot turn down that offer. Take it away, Joaquin.
A glorious sun rose over the village of Tazumal. Every morning, the sun god, Kinichawa, would bring the warm light of the sun, dragging it over the steps of the palace and in through the windows and doorways. And every morning, the princess, Maya, would wake up to that big, bright, beautiful sun shining right into her eyes.
Ay, Kinich, can't you let me sleep in for once?
Maya said, rolling over in a huff. But the sun god smiled and shone even more brightly in the sky.
Fine, I'm up,
Maya said, throwing the covers off herself.
Do not curse the gods, girl. They hear all.
A voice rang out from the doorway. It was Maya's nurse, Chan, who had cared for her since she was born. Every morning, Nurse Chan brought Maya a hot cup of her favorite breakfast drink, champurrado. The champurrado was still steaming as she walked into Maya's room and set down the tray she was carrying. She sat beside the princess on the bed, pulled out a jade comb, and went to brush the princess's hair.
Let them hear!
replied Maya, taking the brush from Chan.
I am the Princess Maya, the strongest, smartest, and bravest of all our people. I bring honor to the gods with my very being. And I can brush my hair myself.
It was true. Maya was the bravest, smartest, and strongest of all the people in Tazumal. But she also wasn't shy about showing off her talents.
You are too proud, girl. Even the gods need help sometimes. Don't you see how Chak, god of rains, helps the god of harvest, Hunapu, graze the corn each season?
If you are strong enough, you don't need help,
replied Maya, her chin held firmly in the air. She brushed the strands of her jet-black hair until they were shiny and lustrous. Maya particularly loved her long black hair. She loved to brush it until it shone like an ebony stone. Nurse John shook her head and shuffled out of the room.
You will learn, child,
she shouted over her shoulder. Maya blew on her hot corn champurrado, sipping it slowly. The smell of chocolate and corn filled the room.
I'll show her. Only the weak need help.
Later that day, Maya was still thinking about what her old nurse had said while she was in class, staring out the window. She sat there, fuming, as she stroked her beautiful braid of jet-black hair.
Earth to Maya,
her teacher said.
Maya, did you hear what I said?
Finally, Maya snapped out of it.
Sorry, miss. What was that?
I said for everyone to get into pairs. We're doing a group project.
Not a group project. No one ever does things as well as I do. I end up having to do everything myself.
Well, Maya, what are you waiting for? Find someone to pair up with,
the teacher said. Maya looked around the room. Almost all the other kids had already grouped up, and they weren't looking very friendly or welcoming. Maya thought to herself.
They probably don't want me to outshine them.
The only person who wasn't already in a pair was Hipotin. He was the smallest boy in class, and every time they had a race, Maya would beat him by a mile. Maya thought to herself,
great, now I'm stuck with the slowest kid in class.
She walked over to his table and said,
I guess it's me and you.
Yeah, no one ever picks me.
Hipotin was used to being picked last. He was a little quiet and a little shy. No one ever paid him much mind.
Well, clearly this group needs a leader, so don't worry. I volunteer. I'm great at leading groups. And my group always gets the best grade. So what's the assignment?
The teacher cleared her throat.
As I was saying, each pair is responsible for figuring out the right offering for the gods of our lands and bringing it to their temples. Hipotin, you and Maya will need to find out the right offering for the god of fire and volcanoes, Xutecutli.
Oh, actually, miss, I'm the team leader for our group,
Maya said cheerfully, but the teacher quickly corrected her.
There are no team leaders on this project, Maya. We're all working together. Now, class, make sure that when you have your offerings all ready, you take them to the temple of your assigned god or goddess. I'm here if you have any questions.
Oh, this will be a breeze. Xutecutli is a powerful god, so we have to give him something very valuable.
Lucky for you, I'm on your team.
As a princess, I have a palace full of gold. I can offer some of that. What do you have to offer?
Hipotin looked down at his shoes. Hipotin was not from a royal or noble family. They did not have much, and definitely nothing to spare.
I don't have anything to give Xutecutli,
he said, embarrassed. But then, an idea came to him.
Wait, my mother sells corn in the village market. Maybe Xutecutli would enjoy some of her corn champurrado. It tastes so good in the morning, people from all over the village come to buy it. I can offer that.
Maya burst out laughing.
Don't be silly. Champurrado is just a breakfast drink. It's not fancy enough to be an offering for a great god. I think my gold will be way better.
Hipotin looked uncertain.
But I'm not sure that Shutekutli likes gold.
Of course he likes gold. Who doesn't like gold? It's shiny and pretty and it costs a lot of money. Just don't stress about it. I've totally got this project covered. Tonight I'll grab some gold from my father's treasure room and bing, bang, boom, A plus on the assignment.
The school bell rang and the kids gathered their things to go home. Sipotin shrugged.
If you say so. Thanks, Maya.
He gathered his tattered book bag and shuffled out. That night, Maya went to her father's throne room and picked out a small golden vase. It was simple and unadorned, but she figured it would do. She tucked it into her school bag, and the next day, on her way to school, she stopped by the Temple of Fire to leave her offering for the god Shutekutli.
I always have to do everything myself,
she said as she dropped off the simple golden vase. And without another thought, she headed off to school. The morning went along like normal, with her teacher explaining the day's math lesson. But at the strike of midday, when the sun was at its highest, a deep rumbling shook the very earth. The students gathered at the windows and saw the great volcano Ilopango was sprouting angry clouds from its wide-open mouth. Dark fumes filled the air, and the sky turned from blue to orange. To red.
Look! The volcano! It's going to erupt!
Said Sipotin, pointing up toward the mountains. And indeed, the great volcano coughed a great spurt of black ash, and the ground trembled once more.
Children, it's time to go. We need to get to safety,
said the teacher, ushering the children toward the door. Outside, the townspeople had begun to panic. People were running, grabbing their belongings and heading to higher ground. The town was in the shadow of the volcano, and an eruption threatened to reduce the town to ashes. Maya and Sipotin were gathering their things when a deep, rumbling voice filled their ears.
A gold vase! You dare to bring to my temple a gold vase?
The kids trembled and looked around for the voice. But everyone else was acting like they hadn't just heard that giant, scary, rumbling sound.
Yes, I'm talking to you. You dare to offer me a simple gold vase?
Sipotin turned to look at Maya.
You said you had this covered.
I thought the vase was nice.
Nice? You're the princess. You have trash cans nicer than that vase.
They could feel the rattling of the great voice in their bones.
If you do not bring me a worthy offering by sundown, I will reduce your town to ashes.
And with that, the great volcano Ilopango sputtered once more, spewing clouds of sulfur into the air.
Going to do?
Sipotin cried.
How are we supposed to know what Shutekutli wants and get it in time to stop the town from being destroyed?
Maya closed her eyes and remembered the words her old nurse had said to her.
Even the gods need help sometimes.
In her pride, Maya had thought she knew best, but she realized that there was no way she could figure this out on her own. She took a deep breath and turned to Sipotin.
What do you think we should do?
Sipotin was taken aback. No one ever asked his opinion.
My mother always says offerings must come from the heart. I think we should both offer something that we really care about. I've still got my mom's famous champurrado. I brought some for lunch. I'll be sad to give it up. I was really looking forward to it. Do you have anything you could offer like that?
Maya thought, and suddenly, an answer came to her. She reached into her desk and pulled out a beautiful jade-handled knife that her father had given her.
I've got an idea, but for it to work, we're going to have to go to the mouth of the volcano itself.
But how? I can't run as fast as you. We will never make it in time.
You can ride on my back. After all, I'm the fastest and strongest.
Sipodin climbed onto Maya's back and they took off running. They raced up the countryside, the wind at their backs, fighting against the dying sun. Finally, as the moon rose into the sky, they made it to the top of Ilopango. The volcano was furiously sputtering rock, ash, and dark clouds of sulfur.
Maya, are you okay?
Maya was huffing and puffing from the run. She gasped for air, but gave Sipodin a thumbs up.
I'm good. Okay, do you have the champurrado?
Right here.
She took the jar of delicious champurrado and pulled out her jade knife. She took her long, jet-black braid of hair, and with the jade knife, sliced right through it. Sipodin gasped.
Maya! Your hair!
We have to offer something we deeply care about, right?
She said, putting the sliced braid into the liquid.
Here goes nothing!
Maya dropped the jar into the volcano. For a moment, it seemed like the whole world grew silent. But then...
Champurrado, my favorite!
The deep voice echoed from within the belly of the volcano.
And the tasty braid of hair to finish it off. This is the best offering I've gotten in millennia.
The children breathed a sigh of relief.
So, you're not going to destroy our village and spew molten hot lava over all of us?
Sipodin said hopefully. But the ground rumbled angrily. And the volcano sputtered once more.
Just kidding,
said the voice. And the volcano went silent once more. Maya and Sipodin exchanged some nervous laughter and began their long walk back to the village. And with that, the village of Tasumal was saved. Maya learned that sometimes everyone needs a little help. And she learned that she looked great with a bob haircut.
That was Maya in the Empire of Tazumal, written by Jasmine Romero. Performed by Rebecca Cunningham, Nicolette Kong, and Rob Marrera. Produced by Megan Bagala. Executive produced by Rebecca Cunningham. Girl Tales is a Cordelia Studios production. Grown-ups, you can get access to ad-free episodes of Girl Tales, as well as a range of other shows for the kids in your life by subscribing to Starglow Plus on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to hear me narrate the original stories of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, or Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, head to patreon.com/girltales and join Team Sunnybrook or above. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you loved this story, share it with a friend. Oh, and remember, I believe in you.